The Attack Zone, Season 4, Episode 5. We're doing it live. Hello there, Dice fans! You have once again stepped into the Attack Zone, where we bring you the A to Z of competitive Dice Masters. We are doing this live on Twitch, but we're still going to see it. You're still going to hear it in your podcast app. Joining me to my left is that well-traveled guy, Incredible Hulk impersonator, JT. Hello, JT. What's up, sir?
Giving myself for a yourself? Round of applause. No one else will. So.
Wow.
Wow. It's going good, man. I had a day with my daughters today. We went to a festival down near my hometown where I grew up. My mom was there for a little bit. Took the girls around. We got face painted and lemonade and popcorn, and kettle corn, 100 different snacks later. They were full.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Then we went out for pizza. The last kid in high school anyone expected to make anything of himself. I say that with 1,000% respect for this guy. I mean, he's made this amazing business right across from the high school. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife, like, they own this pizza shop. They've expanded it twice. Everybody loves it. They do everything local. Like, I mean, they're supporting local farms, and you know, the business is going well. They're going gangbusters. So, but Rocky and Courtney own this pizza joint called Park Street Pizza, and the girls love it. And so we went to Park Street Pizza. But he was definitely the stoner in high school. Year or two older than me, and just like everybody expected, you know, that would be his life, and the dude is a rock star. I mean, like, just an absolute rock star.
That's awesome.
People love working for him. People love going to the pizza place. So that's how we spent our day. I wore the kids out.
Good stuff. We were probably as lazy as you could possibly be today. We slept in a bit. We're up late last night. Slept in a bit. I've been working lately on actually this Twitch stream. Everything is set up here. I have a whole lot of stuff configured on my side, and so that's why we're here rather than on the reserve pool. I don't have everything configured for that channel the way that I do here, and it would take some legwork to get it there. So here we are. One thing that's interesting is that it occurs to me that while you're talking, I can't do what I normally would do, which is like kind of just look around the room or like check something on my phone or whatever else, because like you can see me. So yeah, that's a thing.
I'm doing that anyway.
Well, fair enough.
Wait, when I'm talking, you don't listen?
I listen, but I might like pull up something to make a point, or like search for a card that we're talking about so I can reference the text, because you never do, or something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then we went for a run. Played a healthy amount of video games today, but that's the life of someone who does not yet have kids. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, I plugged in the Wii recently for the girls.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They love to bowl. It is the best thing. Watching my four-year-old bowl with the Wii remote is the funniest thing. It's the best.
You can't beat that Wii bowling.
It's just the best.
It's super good. I played a lot of Overwatch. They recently released a deathmatch mode, which changes everything for me. Because I like multiplayer games. I think they're great. But the problem with games like Overwatch and sometimes those MOBAs and stuff is that they're ruined by the other people who play them. You know what I mean? You have to operate as a team. So you have somebody who just feeds or makes that troll pick of a terrible character. Or like nobody wants to play a healer, whatever else. So if I'm making it one, like, you know, one versus many and 1v1v1v1 or whatever, free for all, so much better. But that's about it for us. Slacking off and enjoying the fact that we can slack off.
Good deal.
Yeah, it certainly is. So I did tell everybody we're going to have some giveaways during the stream, so that's awesome. All you have to do to be... I'm pulling this from a thing in Streamlabs, so all you have to do to be eligible for that is to follow this channel And then that'll show up in Streamlabs, and I can use their RNG thing to figure out who's getting stuff. So appreciate throwing a follow to the channel. You see the little heart around me somewhere here. Where do you click that? I usually follow people all over the place, but it's around there. So throw a
Top
follow up.
right.
There it is. I can't see it when it's my channel. So throw a follow in there, and that'll show up, and we'll do some things with that. So I have giveaways here that include some custom basic action indicators, some cards that you'll see in some of the giveaways we've given out over the last couple months, where we actually signed, me, JT, and Randy. We're unable to get Mike, but that's because Mike lives much, much farther away from us than the three of us do from one another, so that just logistically wasn't going to work too well. But maybe in the future. Some foils, and some OP cards, including that Black Manta that everyone loves, and the OP Crow. Dan, thanks for the follow. Daniel Ging, or Ginge? I'm going to guess Ginge, just because that's the shorthand you see these days. So awesome. Cool. Thanks for the follow. Appreciate that. All right. We got a six pack, JT, don't we?
We
For our
do.
Patreon backers this month. AVX. JT's silence and that crinkling for those of you at home was him pulling up a pack. We have a six pack of Avengers versus X-Men. JT, how did you luck into this?
Heard from a friend that a local grocery shop named Mark's had some packs up in Cleveland, and went to one down here, and they had loads of packs, feeds and feeds worth of packs, from everything from AVX through Age of Ultron, and I looked through every single pack they had, and there were six AVX packs, six. So I bought them,
It was
and
Destiny.
yeah.
I mean, wait, I got, do we have to use a different word? It was AVX, because it wasn't Destiny, it was AVX. It was preordained.
Okay.
Destiny's that other game. You'll have none of it. All right, you cracking it open. Below me here, we're going to have the cards. Just bear with me as I search for them. You'll
Okay.
see some weird stuff pop up. Go for it.
Common Silver Surfer. At the
All right.
start, yeah. Silverado. Six cost shield at the start of the attack step. If your opponent has more life than you, Silver Surfer gets +2/+2. And then the global, the res global, once during your turn, pay a shield and take two damage to draw one die and place it in your prep area. Stats go 155, 275, 387.
It just occurred to me why I couldn't search for it, and that's because I had that we were looking for super rares. So that won't work so well.
Nope, that's not a
There he
super rare.
is. That's the uncommon that I clicked on because they have it out of order. We're using Dice Masters Dex as a resource. We use a lot of these sites, Retrobox, Dice Masters Dex, they're all good. I'm a big fan of this card. I love the global that's on there. I like baiting my opponent into maybe losing some life. But if I'm drafting, let's see, if I'm drafting AVX, I'm going to have this available through basic action cards, like this very same global, so I'm probably not going to place a pretty high priority on it. And his stat boost, I mean, that makes him into a heavy hitter, so maybe. But the global in and of itself, the only benefit there is that I could do something like that more than once per turn. And I don't know how much I'm willing to spend life more than a couple of times, so how much value am I getting out of this? I might take this a little later, but probably not first.
I agree with that. His other versions are much, in my mind, much better. The thing about him that I do like that if you do take him and you're willing, I mean, if you take him with the intention to purchase the die, you got to be willing to use the global because it's, I mean, having less life than your opponent is what triggers him, right? So, you know, you can kind of maybe bait your opponent into taking damage they shouldn't take just to not have his effect fire. I don't know. I always feel like if I'm making the game more difficult for my opponent, then I'm winning the game. I may not win the game, but I'm doing the things that I need to do to put myself in a better position to win the game. So that's that. Next we have Magneto, six cost mask, Holocaust survivor, the uncommon. While Magneto is active, you may pay 2 energy to spin a villain up 1 level. Global Pay Mask to reroll a villain die. Stats go 144, 257, 368.
You know, what I'm trying to think of right here is that we use rerolling for things like these days we use Parallax with Elf Thief, right? Stuff like that. And I'm trying to decide, are there any villains in AVX that I might get in a draft that I would want to, like, reroll off and then reroll back on for when fielded? And while it's been a while since I've really interacted with AVX, I don't think that exists. Otherwise, I maybe would place a higher value on it. I don't know. What do you recollect?
Yeah,
but like that's advantage I see to this card.
Well, right now, you can reroll potential blockers out of the field if you're not playing a villain's team.
True.
And that's good, like, especially if you can draft, you know, a cheaper mask character. I don't know that there actually are any to draft, because the ones that come to mind, Beast and Storm, are both more expensive as uncommons than they are in the starter. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe you can roll masks on psychic dice and that may be good enough. I don't know. You know, if that's your strategy, may as well play Relentless, right? Like,
true.
Is Relentless a legal basic action in draft? I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either. Has that ever been addressed?
Not officially in any capacity that I'm aware of.
No. Have we even talked about it here?
I don't think we have. I mean, maybe, like, we've said, hey, you can bring Relentless, but there are things that make me double think that now, so I don't
true. Know. Well, so as a sidebar, if you're not aware, if you, like, look at the letter of the...
tournament rules.
Yeah, the letter of the tournament rules. I'm going to turn you up a little bit here.
In the draft section, it says all basic actions are legal for...
Yeah, it does.
So, ask your TO if you're drafting AVX before you draft the Magneto for the global.
That's true. Okay. All right.
Next we have Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme, 7 cost mask, common. While Doctor Strange is active, you may purchase 1 action die for free during your main step. Stats go 146, 258, 389. I love me some Doctor Strange. This may not be his best version, but his stats are fantastic, and the ability is pretty good depending on what basic actions you bring. Mm-hmm. So, just saying.
Yeah, you could get a lot of value out of it if you can get up to 7. And our ramp opportunities are going to be slightly limited in AVX, other than what we have with basic action. I mean, the best thing was obviously, right, the Beast. Everybody used that. But, boy, Nog, that's a rare. What else do we even have? Like, just 7 seems like a tall order. But, on the other hand, you're probably going to have longer games.
Dude, just throwing this out there.
Please.
Surfer, Rez, Villainous Pact.
All 3 of them. Yeah, that's true. And boy, to get a Villainous Pact in rotation for free, and now you have that lethal threat.
I'm just throwing it out there.
You've pulled me around on it.
And to be frank, if it's free, Rez isn't a terrible die.
No,
roll,
it's not.
Roll something in your use pile. Okay, well, let me buy this character and see if I can get him out and field him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
Alright, next we've got a 5-cost Bolt, Punisher Vigilante, the uncommon. When Punisher assigns to attack, search your bag for Punisher die and put it into your prep area. Your opponent can prevent this by paying 3 life. Stats go 141, 152, 263. He's a max 3.
Mm-hmm. I don't like this. It's kind of win more-ish, and I have to get more than 1 Punisher die, which Mick Rook is going to be in demand. That's a pretty good card. Just to remind everybody, I'll pull that one up too. When he assigns an attack, knock out a target opposing character, etc. Much cheaper for the same body. Go back to Vigilante. So, McRook's going to be in demand, and this really wants me to have more than one die. And frankly, I prefer the ability from the common. The only way I'm taking this is if I'm trying to, like, limit Punisher dice that go to other people, I guess. But I'm not going to hate draft on my first pick.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, in order for him to be any good, you got to have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more than one, you probably got a McRook, right?
And you want to use that.
And you want to use it.
You said it.
I mean, that's where I am.
I agree.
All right, 6 cost mask, common, Professor X, principal. While Professor X is active, your opponent cannot reroll dice during the roll and reroll step. He or she can pay 2 life to prevent this effect for the rest of the turn. Stats go 1-1-5, 2-1-7, and 3-1-9.
Cool. It's not searching. Error getting data. Let's reload that page. I don't have much that excites me about really any of the Professor X, I don't think, in AVX. Maybe some of that is just because we got UXM on the heels and PXG was just so, you know, gangbusters. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the no reroll is good. You know, your opponent's probably going to think about paying 2 life. But again, if you're going to ramp to something for 6, it's probably not going to be a strong. It either better be a very strong control piece, like something that's not in this set, like a Jinzo or a zombie Magneto. You know, if you're going to reach for a control piece, it better be good.
Right.
He has no attack value at all, so it's not something I would draft unless it was, you know, passed to me.
No, I mean, it is an interesting control piece. I might consider it mid-round, especially depending on what it looks like on the expensive side of the curve for me. I mean, not being able to reroll does shut you down on a couple of different things, but I don't think it's a first pick in my opinion.
Yeah. All right, next up we got a 6-cost shield villain, Dr. Doom Nemesis, the uncommon. Dr. Doom can only be blocked by villain and sidekick characters. Global, if you have a villain fielded, pay a shield to give target character -1/-1. Stats go 1-3-6. 2-4-7-3-5-8.
I really like this card.
Yep.
Quite a lot. Wait, does it feel like, by the way, we've gotten a really disproportionate amount of uncommon so far?
One per pack, to be honest.
Yeah, interesting. This is great. I love the global. I love that it's a global that my opponent can't just use under every circumstance. His attack stats aren't great, but it's better than Professor X, and the defense stats are certainly solid. And I can always pump him up. I can always find that capacity somewhere with whatever I'm bringing to support him. I would place this card. I'd put a priority on this card, probably.
So far, anyway.
Yeah, so far. I mean, we're 3 packs in, right? 3 of the 6?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we like here?
Well, I mean, so far, Dr. Doom or Surfer. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. I might also consider Strange.
Strange. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, you know, isn't that interesting that, like, 3 packs, we have, like, 3 possible directions that we're looking at for a bomb or an enabler?
Yeah. Yeah. So, next up, you know, we're going back a ways, so I don't know that I feel real confident in any single direction right now. But
no, me neither.
That being said, next up we got the 6-cost Bolt Common Mjolnir, Fist of the Righteous. Deal 6 damage to each villain. Double burst, deal 8 damage to each villain instead. Global, pay Bolt to deal 1 damage to target character. Max 3.
So this card gives me, I don't know what to say it gives me. This card makes me sad because this is what I wanted to find a way to work with Jocasta until it was ruled that Jocasta doesn't do what everybody thought it did. So
yeah.
I can't fight that when I see Mjolnir. But that being said, is it a good action? I think it can be. I think it has its place. But I think what it does is cool anyway. But it's expensive, very expensive, and you're just limited on who you can hit with it. So I would not be prioritizing this.
Yeah. All right, next up, Rogue. 5-cost mask, uncommon Anna Marie. When fielded, capture an opposing action die from the used pile or reserve pool. When Rogue attacks, you may use that action for free with no bursts. Return it to the used pile after the attack step. Stats go 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 5, 2, 5, 6.
It just relies on, and there's that uncommon again, it just relies on too much else happening. So my opponent has to have purchased an action die, and it's in the reserve pool, which, I mean, only so many basic actions are continuous. And actually, at the time of printing, nothing was. They're in the reserve pool. I can't target anything in the field here, right? So this has to either be like, the only place that I could be for me to use this, for all intents and purposes, is the used pile. Because there will never be an action die, unless I guess they left it energy.
Yeah,
does it count as an action die then?
Yeah, it always counts as an action die.
I thought so. Couldn't remember. I get it's way too specific a case.
Yeah, it just... It's not going to come up often, frequently enough for it to be worthwhile. Especially for the stats, you know. Paying 5 for a 2-3 that you had to pay to field is just off.
Mm-hmm.
So
it absolutely is.
All right, next up we've got 3-cost shield Angel High Ground, common. Angel cannot be blocked by a character with a lower level. Unblockable is always worth looking at. Stats go 0-2-2-1-3-3-1-3-4. So if you can pump them up or any of those things, I think unblockable you've always got to take a look at.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I always say, right? Unblockable, my ears perk up. And I, especially with the cost here, and that's what I look at compared to the other things that we've...
He's the first less than 5 cost we've seen.
I thought so, yeah. I mean, we've seen everything 5, 6, and then a 7. Jeez. I mean, I have to look at it, but here's my problem. Even pumping him up, it's going to take a bit for something to happen. He can still be blocked by something that's a level 3. And, he wasn't in the starter pack. No, he was not. Okay, there will be other dice. I'm thinking of UXM. Okay, so maybe I'll get some more dice. But even so, I have to roll him at level 3 to be sure that most things can't block him. And even then, oops, my opponent has something at level 3. Okay.
Well, you can spin him up.
You can spin him up.
I just...
But equal levels can block him, is what
I'm
saying.
Right, but so far, I'm absolutely taking him simply because he's cheap, and he's the only cheap thing that I see. And so I have to bring and do less for him to work the way I need him to work
than
anything else I've seen.
That's true.
So
a fair point.
That's where I am with him now. Anyway,
I'm with you.
The uncommon in that pack was again Rogue. So there's two of those.
Mm-hmm.
In our last pack, we have a common 5-cost Fist X-Man Wolverine Wild Boy. When Wolverine attacks alone, you may spin one opponent's character down one level. Stats go 1-5-2-2-6-3-3-8-4. Max 3.
Sorry, I just blanked on what character you said it was.
Wolverine.
God. And the subtitle?
Wild Boy, the common.
Yeah, there we go. I can't even tell you. And here's why I didn't notice, for whatever reason. I blocked it out, and that's because I got this card by far more than any other friggin' card when I opened my AVX feed way back at the very beginning of all of this. And it's like, is that really worth having? And I had like 17 of it. It's not that great. It's more expensive. It's not going to boot Angel off there, and it's not better than the other expensive things we've seen that made us, you know, at least gave us some kind of pause.
The only thing I'll say about him is, yeah, I mean, in a draft that includes, you know, some just incredible uncommons. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to happen to pick up a Hulk, and you could clear the board, right? Because mm-hmm. you either brought Magic Missile or drafted a Mjolnir or whatever. His stats are not to be trifled with, because you want to keep Hulk around to control. You don't want to, you know, just clear the board and swing with him. You want to keep Hulk around.
That's true.
So if you were, you know, his stats, spinning a character because you want Hulk down on one of the burst levels. I'm just, you know, just throwing this out there that him, Polymorph, Hulk, Magic Missile would be not awful.
No, I agree with that. But for me to make that decision, I have to either see Hulk in my second stack, or I have to have somebody who's crazy. Or like I have it in this stack, and I'm hoping that somebody passes me Wild Boy or something like that. I mean, I'm looking at the table. If there are Hulk dice on the table and they're not mine, I'm not seeing Hulk.
Probably. I mean,
unless they're,
yeah.
Or I mean, if I'm seeing Hulk, it's because the person to one side of me or the other opened Gabi or Serena or something like that.
Right. And that happened in a draft for me. So.
Oh God.
You know. Somebody drew Gabi and passed me Hulk, and I took Hulk. Somebody drew super rare Mr. Fantastic mm-hmm. and passed me Storm.
Oh.
So okay. I went Hulk Storm, and I opened Johnny Storm. So I had the trifecta. It was awesome. That's the only AVX draft I've done. And I won it, but so did the guy who drafted, you know, Gabi. So
right on.
All right, our last card is it's the card I'm picking, and it's also an uncommon. So six packs, six uncommons, 3-cost shield, Angel, Avenging Angel. If Angel is blocked but not knocked out, he deals 2 damage to the opposing player.
That's it. Yep.
So it's as good as unblockable. And if you bring pump, it can be removal. And sure, then they, you know, then they just pump up whoever blocks them. But here's the thing. If they got to save energy to pump up whoever's blocking Angel, then they're not able to buy what they want to buy. And so this Angel can be a win condition or an economy threat. And because it's so versatile and you can buy it first turn, it has to be my first pick.
You are 100% correct. I can't disagree at all. That's sound logic, and that's why I would take him too. And you know what? If it turned out that somebody did pass me a Hulk and I'm like, I wish I had that Wolverine, I guarantee you from experience, you'll probably see lots of Wild Boy for one. And for two, he's very likely to wheel, right?
Yeah.
Very likely.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. That was it? That was all six?
That was our six pack.
Right on. Since we're talking about Guardians, I'm going to pull up Star-Lord again. All right. A month ended, and we have some stuff to give away to one of our patrons, so thank you so much for supporting the show. That's why we are able to do things like this, so we appreciate your support. That's why we're able to keep up on the six-pack and stuff like that. So this will be for September, several cards from a couple of things, and we'll add some stuff into it as well. So let me figure out who's going. That's our number, and that is Andy Merrill. I'll shoot you an email, Andy, assuming I can find it on Patreon. If you hear this before, if you hear this before I get sent you an email, then that's fine too. I got a lot of stuff to get out here soon, so we'll do it in one fell swoop, and get to the post office later with a whole bunch of stuff. But once I get your info, we'll get some stuff out to you, Andy. So thanks for your support, and thanks everybody for your support. You can check that out at patreon.com/theattackzone.
Hey, if Andy doesn't get back with you, I need to check my PMs. I'm sure I've traded with him.
Okay.
So
you might have some info there. Yeah, but I want him to know that it's coming and not just be like, what?
Well,
you know,
if we have to go that route, a sticky note inside the envelope usually will cover our bases.
Well, I know. I know.
Also,
we'll find him.
Also, if he's a Patreon supporter, which he presumably necessarily is in order to be qualified, right?
Yeah.
Or was this just this? And it doesn't matter. If he's a Patreon supporter, then he probably is listening.
We hope so.
Just throwing that out there.
Yep, that's true.
Look at my deductive reasoning skills. Let's.
CCM, thanks for the follow. Look, filling up that jar, isn't that cool? I found that. Wanted to try it out on Streamlabs. I like getting Tails dancing down there. I was doing Sonic Mania on a stream earlier, which is that new Sonic game. It's incredible. Oh my god, if you like the old school Sonic the Hedgehog, play it. Back to the show. Guardians of the Galaxy has come out. It's JT, first off, just quick hit. Impressions of the set in one word. Nobody can see you nodding.
But they probably heard me go...
Yeah, but that could be taken so many ways when all you have is audio.
I honestly, one word is tough.
Okay. In a short phrase, quick hit, what do you think?
I love this set. I am so in love with this set. It's not even right. Like, there are meta pieces. There are things that are going to be competitive, and they're wonderful. I mean, it's phenomenal. But I got the chance to draft this set, and I'm telling you, I mean, I've heard some not so positive stories about drafting. That's fine. Maybe that was your experience. My experience was awesome. So, I didn't get to draft Ricochet. Number one, let's get that out of the way. I did not get to draft Ricochet. A little bit disappointed in that, but that's okay. I'll survive. I'll draft him eventually, and I'll own 700 copies of him by the time it's all said and done. But I'm convinced that in this particular set for draft, it's such a high level, it's a heady draft. You've got to be clever. Every one of your decisions matters. Who to attack with, who not to attack with, who to block, how to block. I watched someone draft Rare Widow and Rare Ricochet, which should be enough to just win, right? Like, that should just be enough to win. But Guardians took him down. Randy drafted Guardians and took him down. And, like, that, I guarantee you that came down to decisions, because the guy who drafted both of those knew that drafting those would be good, but he's not a newer player. He just hasn't played in a while. His job takes him to travel, and so when he was away, he just wasn't playing at all. Didn't look at any of the spoilers, but saw those two and knew that he had to take them. And, you know, sharp enough player, understands, gets it. Like, first time I ever played against him, he brought a Vicious Struggle team that he put together on his own. You know, no, wasn't following TRP or meta or anything. And he had a lot of the right pieces on it. So really getting stuff, understanding, you know, sharp enough player that it just figures stuff out on his own, regardless of what kind of help he has. My point is, like, I don't know what mistakes he made. Maybe Randy could articulate those a little bit better, but I guarantee you that it in that game, it came down to, and that was the finals of the draft. I guarantee it came down to decision. So I really like this draft. I mean, you gotta think through everything. Gosh, there's so many pieces that, like, I mean, I hate drafted the common kiln, right? And just having it on my team changed Randy's purchase order. Just having it on my team. He looked at it and he was like, crap, I've got to get Yondu now. and so, you know, that let me get ahead. And our game went all the way to turns. And, you know, it was a phenomenal match. Randy and I have played a lot of games, and that was one of the most fun I've ever played against him. So, I'm in love with this set. I can't stop gushing over it. I will buy far too much of it, that's for sure.
It's an exciting set, and I mean, we're seeing responses out there that are talking about good experiences that they've had, or hey, as long as it's better than drafting Deadpool, that works for me. I have not, and unfortunately, probably won't have the chance to draft this anytime soon. But I've gotten packs, I've opened them up, and I'm excited by what I see. And I will say that this is probably, early returns would indicate, just looking at the cards and the cost curve and where fun abilities lie and all that kind of stuff, I think it's safe to say this may be the best Marvel draft set, at least at the beginning of the draft format. Maybe it'll go on and we'll tire of it, maybe it'll only get better, I don't know. But at this standpoint, feedback I hear from our team, from a few others out there, this may be the best Marvel draft set. Now, that might not be saying a lot, because some of them aren't that great. Spider-Man could be fun if you like really wonky things. Deadpool, I and others felt was lacking. Others felt it was okay. UXM, like when we all learned what we were doing, I mean, we were all pretty new to the Rainbow Draft format at that time, but geez, once we learned how to take Professor X apart and put him back together and do crazy things, you could basically break that draft format if you could draft really well. This may be the best. I don't know. What do you think about that statement? Is it too bold?
No, I don't think it's too bold. I found it at least as much fun as Civil War. Now, I drafted Civil War a lot more than I've drafted this so far. I would definitely put it... I got to draft AVX way late. Like last summer late.
Oh, yeah.
And so having drafted other stuff before and then getting to draft AVX, I was just so amped to draft AVX that, you know, that was a tremendous experience. Not to mention, I already mentioned, I drafted the Trifecta. So, I would say Civil War is probably the best Marvel draft that we've had. This easily, for me, rivals it.
Okay.
And we didn't have... everybody just, you know, making a cash grab for basic actions. That wasn't our experience. It could have been, depending on what basic actions were brought. I mean, that wasn't what happened. Now, I bought a basic action in each of my games. But against Randy, I rolled at energy 6 times. And... in one of my other games, you know, I bought Transfer Power because I was trying to buy either Spot or Cosmic Cube the first turn, and I rolled 3 dice, and I got Mask, Fist, and so I bought a Transfer Power because I thought, well, you know, I'll buy my Uncommon Captain America eventually, and I'll want to try and field him for free. So, I rolled Transfer Power, but I missed Cap, and he went in my bag, which was good because otherwise he would have been... having a cycle. So
right.
I find this, again, you know, limited experience. I just had one, but it was amazing. I found it tremendously fun. I'm very much looking forward to doing it again soon. We'll probably do a constructed week next week, but we may draft after that in my shop. And you know, I might sneak up to Cleveland next weekend. And that's when they're starting their draft. So
cool.
Yeah, I can't say enough about it. I mean, I really had a blast.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that's bearing out. I mean, as we were looking at spoilers, I think we got excited, right? I mean, it looked right. It looked like the pieces were in place to make something fun. But I think what's been a problem in the past is something that, like, the costs are just a little too high to really feel good in draft, or some of the abilities are just lacking, which I think would be the case, especially in Spider-Man. A cost too high would be Deadpool. this, it looks more like a DC set where we have fun abilities all up and down rarity, and we have a pretty solid cost curve up and down the set as well. And I think if you put those two pieces in place, that makes for a fun draft format.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I would love to see, more single card win conditions at common, but then it's just everybody trying to draft, the same cards, and you end up with one or two dice of it. This, you got to be a little bit more. I like the word clever. I really do. I think you've got to be clever. You got to look at the dice that are out there and kind of pay a little bit more attention to what rarities you're probably going to see. You got to know it a little better. And yes, 100% true that the rares are the winners in this set. But you can do well with commons and uncommons. So I don't feel like it's, get the rares and win. I don't know what rares Randy used on his team. But like I said, he won, and it was a Guardians team top to bottom. So I think most were common or uncommon. It's a tremendously fun set to draft. Tremendously fun set to draft. It probably doesn't quite break into that top tier that we've seen from the two D&D sets and a couple of the DC sets, but it's easily as good as Civil War, and in my mind, at least at this point, limited experience, it's possibly better.
I think that's, Civil War, I think, did draft very, very well. And that's true. I guess I tend to overlook that. I probably had the chance to draft that least of all. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to find the opportunity. There aren't as many drafts around my area as usual, so I'm just trying to keep going on the website of things and support the game that way as best as possibly can. Well, let's talk some specifics with drafts. And we maybe want to talk in there because of some of the conversation in chat about how, with some of the rares out there, is there anything that's worth prepping for? Well, on the one hand, I will say you can't really prep for any rare ever. I think you really can't even prep for most uncommons because you're likely to only see one of them, if any at all, in a draft pod, especially depending on the size. More likely in an 8-person, less likely as you get smaller there. But somebody brought up the example of Madame Web rare. How do you work around that? So let's kind of just talk about the draft strategy as a whole when you're approaching this one, and then we'll get into some of our highlights for Modern and Golden.
Well, if you're worried about Madame Web, you've got to look for masks in dice that you're drafting and bring blank. And if you're worried about, if I bring blank, then what? Well, a couple things. Number one, there are two commons, maybe more. There are two-cost commons, because I know there's four-cost, too. There's two-cost commons that have Infiltrate, and that's the spot and Ricochet. And you get to activate Infiltrate before Globals, so before those characters could be blinked back. So blink has no interaction whatsoever with Infiltrate. So that's number one. Number two, for having all your characters forced to block Madame Web is one thing. So look for strategies to get her out of the field. The idea with Madame Web is that, they're going to try and sneak through chunks of damage. So your best bet is to, the moment she's out, use Call Out, right? And get rid of her. Make them re-roll her. Make them re-roll all of the stuff that they can re-roll. Now, I don't have her stats right in front of me. I know level one, she's got at least 3 defense. So
she is 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, and she is up on the stream right now. Okay. Let's reference this for the folks who are audio only. Madame Web, the Great Web Unravels, is a 4-cost spider family. When Madame Web attacks, you may pay 2 generic. If you do, all opposing character dice must block Madame Web this turn.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's the old web crawler, wall crawler, whatever it was. The old Spider-Man, you know, that you
can... It kind of is.
And it's the, you know, Black Bolt-Medusa combo too, right? So we've seen this before. It's not new. I like that it's on a rare so that not every game goes this way. Because if this was on a common, you'd see it on virtually every team, right? Or, you know, in an eight-man draft, eight-person draft. I super apologize for that. In an eight-person draft, you may see three of these, right? And you might have to play against all three of them, which would just be a terrible day. So I like that it's on a rare. I understand, well, then only one person gets it. But, yeah, but only maybe one person gets it. So you might not see it at all. So that's number one. And then, you know, again, there are ways to deal with it. You just, you either got to punch harder, faster, you know, have that sit down, look and say, all right, am I the beatdown? Or are they, you know, what they're going to try and get there, but can I get there faster? Is it possible for me to get there faster? Do I have the tools? And go that route. So, what else have we seen? Dum-Dum Dugan. I think it's the uncommon that gets pumped. His attack gets pumped for each of your sidekicks. Maybe that's one of those ways that you can go faster, right? So, you know, if you get something with call out, right, and they, you know, as they're trying to build, you get a couple sidekicks out there, attack with something that has call out, force whatever they've got in the field to block call out and push Dum-Dum through. Now, if Dum-Dum and Madam Web are on the same team, you might have a little bit of a trouble, but you know, that's when you've got to be looking at things and thinking, all right, I drafted enough infiltrate, it's worth just bringing blank.
yeah, there you go. I mean, so let's talk about then, because on a couple of occasions looking at this, you've mentioned a couple of the keyword abilities. Do you feel then that this draft really you really have to pay attention to, or you want to have some, whatever, of those call out and infiltrate abilities?
It's probably worth picking up. I think he's a common stick that's got call out. I think his stats are good for a four cost. I think infiltrate is a tremendous win condition. It's not an instant win condition, but, you know, the old timers of us who were around when UXM came out and then Yu-Gi-Oh and D&D and then especially Justice League, you know, we'll remember that, man, chip damage was huge. That direct damage, you know, just chip away, chip, you know. I bought a cheetah, you know, that puts me ahead, right? I mean, that kind of mentality.
Sure was.
Infiltrate really is that kind of, I mean, it really is. Especially if you bring, you know, a pump global on a BAC or transfer power or, you know, those things are just augmenting the strategy that's there in draft. I don't think that bringing a global on a BAC makes it a BAC draft. I think it means, you know, because anyone can use the global, right? So,
exactly.
You know, so go ahead, pump up, you know, spot until he's a five attack. I'll chump block him, you know. I'll have to, but that's part of my strategy now. I know that I'm going to have to do that, and if I happen to bring my own spot, you know, now what are you going to do? Are you going to risk it? Are you going to attack and maybe let me knock out your guys, and then when I re-roll mine, I can infiltrate for free, or I can pump them and hit you for five instead? Like, what? That's what I meant, but when I said it's a heady draft, you got to be clever, all those decisions matter. Mm-hmm. I felt like every turn, choosing what to attack with and what not to, was a big, big deal.
So I really badly want to draft this, like, right now. Like, seriously. Well, so here's what's most interesting to me from the conversation that we're having here. I feel like too often the keywords that get introduced in a format, and it's going to be really easy here to pick on Heroic from UXM, but too often the keywords that get introduced in the format for draft are just like, they're way too, it feels like those keywords just don't have enough impact in a lot of cases. And here it really feels like they do, probably to an amount that we haven't seen before, right? Like, how much did we really use? Well, darn, I can't even remember what it was called in Green Arrow Flash, the thing from the where you roll from used.
Roll from used.
Yeah, when you roll it from used, you get that ability, and that's how important it was.
When you roll
right?
it from the prep,
or prep. Sorry. Yes.
Back for seconds.
Back for more.
Back for more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Underdog and Aftershock were brought up here. Some of those keywords just weren't super, super great. But here it sounds like that's different. You really have to pay attention to what they have, and you probably should be aware, especially as you said with Infiltrate, that chip damage, it's like a cheetah constantly, and some cards give bonus chip damage. When you have whenever you do damage with Infiltrate, do another one, and you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff out there that does that. And you really have to be aware of the keyword cards in a way that I don't think you previously ever had to.
Yeah, I mean, I went in without having studied the cards, mm-hmm. you know, but I had looked at them at least. You know, I'd read through probably everything at least. And I still found myself reading every card that was passed to me. So I didn't feel like, you know, everything was just obvious. But my team was all commons and uncommons, and I only ever really used a few of them. I mean, I got the common Yondu when fielded, deal one damage to all opposing characters, so that was able for me to clear some sidekicks on the other side, and then take better use of Infiltrate on Spot. And, you know, the challenge with Spot is that because his attacks are like 2-2-2 or something, 2-2-3, like, you almost want to let him go unblocked so he goes through, and then your opponent's just going to pick, well, I'm going to use the Infiltrate ability. The difference is with Ricochet, I think, what's Spot go?
Spot is 2-1, 2-2, 2-3.
Yeah, so 2-2-3.
He's up there now for you folks.
The difference with Ricochet is he goes 2-3-4, so his stats are a little bit better on attack, and you know, you don't want to let him go through. So it's harder for him to use the Infiltrate ability, I think. And so, you know, which direction do you go? Are you lucky enough to draft both? Great, draft both. I mean, you know, by all means. But, and the other thing is the uncommon spot might be better than the common spot. The uncommon spot plus a BAC could be roll all your dice every turn. You know, if you're using Relaxing or Superhero Registration Act, there's an old ruling with, you know, something from Yu-Gi-Oh! And the thing. And the thing from Yu-Gi-Oh! Says whenever you draw a die, draw an extra die and lose life. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing lets you draw, like, three dice if something happens and you have, you know, fewer characters in the field than your opponent. So the ruling on this thing is, well, I think it's Dark Magician. And so, you know, Dark Magician says, when you draw a die, draw an extra die and lose two life. So when you draw three dice for Thing, you also draw three dice for Dark Magician, but you lose six life. Well, that's, you can't, I mean, you can't manage that. But the uncommon spot says, whenever you draw and roll a die, draw and roll an extra die. So if you're doing, you know, Relaxing or Superhero Registration Act, for every die you draw for the action, you're going to draw an extra one for the spot. So you could draw six dice for either one of those. And draw and roll six dice. I mean,
it's
for
wild.
Your turn, you only get four. For this action, you're going to get six. That's just
to
nuts.
Be able to do that in draft.
I know.
You know, that's now, where it really shines.
Like, now you can look at Thanos. You can, I mean, you don't want to get the common because then Spot is blank. But you can look at those, like, hulking guys who are just ridiculous. You know, the Beta Ray Bills that I looked at in draft, you know, as they were passed to me, and I thought, that's just too expensive, especially for that effect. But now, if I'm going to have, you know, 8 or 9 energy a turn, what do I care? What do I care? I'll get that guy. And, you know, you combine that with the common Cosmic Cube, which just lets you cycle your bag until you get the stuff you want. I mean, that's just bananas. Just ridiculous. Seriously. Ridiculous. So now all of a sudden I get to all the stuff that I want right now, right away. Man, I mean, you can accelerate so quickly.
Yep.
So it's combo stuff. It's not stuff that we, you know, is like automatic as it's been in other drafts. It's there's, you know, there's no cheetah that just happens when I attack. Now there's infiltrate, which happens whether or not characters are blocked, and so it adds depth to me. Maybe that's why I'm so excited about it, is because it adds that depth, that it's not, you know, it's not just something that's automatic and go.
No, I hear you. I think that makes all the sense in the world. Okay. Well, so that's a lot about draft. Let's talk about the formats we'll be prepping for. I mean, we'll have some draft WKOs, which is nice that we're seeing those things come around. It looks like that's going to be a thing that stays, and I love it. But let's talk about modern, and we can do a little bit of golden as well, even though it looks like there will be fewer of those events. Let's talk about modern. What are some impact cards that we like? If you don't mind, I'd like to start.
So you can talk here on this podcast too?
Yeah, right? Well, hey, you know what? I didn't have the chance to draft. You did. You get your crack here. You get your crack at it. Man, I love the possibilities presented by the Rare Nowhere. This is so cool. For one, I love the art. It just looks so cool. It looks like you're nowhere. I mean, come on. It's so cool. I tend to not like a lot of the non-basic actions in general, but this one with the cost and everything else. So you can swap any character die in your used pile or field zone for an unpurchased character die costing one more. Character dice swapped in the field zone stay on the same level. So a lot of us, let's just take one really basic use case. A lot of us really like Fabricate. What's the problem with Fabricate? You run out of dice in a way that you wouldn't have with Blue Eyes White Dragon. So if you structure the characters that are on your team, you can get that Fabricator back on its card where you can now continue to ramp with it. As long as you have something that costs more, you have to structure it that way. But I don't think you'll have too much difficulty finding some really good cards that cost one more than the Fabricator tools that people love. I think this is a really cool card that's going to see some play. It's very minimum experimentation.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I could not agree more. I mean, so we a group of us anyway, really like Polymorph. Really like Polymorph.
Big fan. Right?
This adds depth and flexibility. It takes away the opportunity to do it, you know, to your opponent's dice, but it adds depth and flexibility. Do I have a five cost that I've just not been able to get to, but I really need right now? Like, I don't know, Wonder Woman Reflections. Boom. In the field. All I had to do is swap out for, you know, some four cost that I bought that I can probably either buy this turn or next. I mean, you already mentioned the Fabricate stuff, right? Like, I know, I mean, the four cost crossover, one of super rares would probably see more play if they're easier to buy. Well, now you don't have to buy them.
Getting that, like, oh man, I love that White Lantern Sinestro. It's hard to get, but you could do some crazy lockdown things. Like, there, those four energy White Lanterns and some of the other ones, the What Ifs and whatever else, they're so hard to buy. Now they're not. And when you only, especially for the four cost ones, when you're looking at having to have something three out there to get it in, there are plenty of three cost cards that are worth buying that can be absolutely disruptive that can help you build up to that. It's such a cool card.
Well, and this is, you know, so you mentioned, you know, Fabricate. Well, now there's multiple paths to get the seven cost. I can buy two costs and nowhere, Fabricate, and then nowhere for it, which is incredible. So I paid a total of seven energy. I have a seven cost, two costs, and a three cost. Right? Like, that's absolutely what happened. Right. The thing that just boggles my mind. So it's used pile or field. So it can be that now I need this character now. I got to put it up now. Well, I don't need to worry about it. I just do it. Or it can be, you know, convoluted a little bit more so anyway through, you know, fabricate, whatever. And now I got that 7 cost. And honestly, on that turn, I only paid the fielding energy for my 2/2 cost probably. And if they're thieves, holy smokes, I didn't pay anything. I just used nowhere, fabricated my thieves, which I wanted to do anyway. Right? I stole energy to do other stuff, whatever. It doesn't matter. Right? Like, Mayfield for free. So if I'm fielding both of those thieves, I can field a thief, steal one of your energy to field my other thief. That, like, you can do that. It's a Mayfield for free. So if I want to just burn you down, your energy in your reserve pool, that's one way to do it. And that no, like, that's a good engine on its own, right? This makes that fabricate thing just so much crazier. You know, we were spending time, you know, trying to pick on Darkseid so that we could get to Grodd.
Yep.
And now I can fabricate and nowhere Grodd, and who cares?
Right. Right. Well, and you know, it opens up other things, because where there was questions like, well, you like the one Darkseid. Darkseid had his enabling version, the uncommon, then he had his like crazy swarm version, the super rare, and maybe you want like the ability to purchase some bigger things, but like you would rather also have. You can make different choices because this lets you get to big stuff in a different way, or lets you get to other things that might otherwise be difficult to purchase in a different way. And someone in chat said what I think will bear out here is that it may well be that Nowhere is like the card from this set. And I now that we're talking about it, yeah, I think they're probably right. And so I guess I led off with the heavy hitter and you get to follow that up.
Okay, well, I'll follow it up with 5 or 6 others that are going to be just as much fun.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Groot Thor is stupid, especially with Nowhere, because now I can get him. We'll just move on. Captain Britain, Iron Man.
Oh man,
just the sheer amazing cost reduction that dude. So now I can pay. You know, if I know where something big and I field them, now I can pay 4 and buy another one.
It's just 4.
4.
Just any, whatever. 4.
4. And, you know, why not? So while I'm at it, I'll fabricate the one I just fielded, and then nowhere another one. So I paid 4 energy and I got 2 that turn. Like, just, there's all kinds of ridiculous stuff, right? Or maybe I'm using it with the free global beholder. So I fielded them and I pay 1 mask and buy another one. Just nonsense. That pure nonsense stuff. I mean, that's what's going to happen with this guy. Not Gabi. Hello,
not
villains.
Gabi. What, yeah, that's...
Ugh. Like, right? And the last one I'll fire real quick is the rare collector, because goodness gracious, what is going on with this card? I love it. The opportunity to, I'll use the word manipulate. You're not purchasing your opponent's dice. You may pay a cost, and then you may manipulate one of those dice. So the rare collector, I'm sure you'll pull it up here in a minute for these guys. But
I'm working on it.
And when you do, go ahead and read it, because I don't want to get the words wrong. But you pay a cost, and you get to field a die, any unpurchased die, any unpurchased character die. So just crazy, crazy nonsense. And I want to give credit where credit is due. I think it's CCM who mentioned the rare Cosmic Cube, which is, as far as 2-cost bolt actions go, going to give Kryptonite a run for its money, simply because it's bananas.
Well, I think, okay, so the collector, while active once per turn, you may pay the purchase cost of target unpurchased die -2 to a minimum of 1. If you do, field that character die at level 1. Return that die to its owner's card at end of turn or when it leaves the field zone.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So your opponent brought Rare Beholder. Great. I'll pay two. Two. One of them's a mask, and I get two free globals. Oh, mm-hmm. by the way, I have a 4/3 body in the field.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, and it's once per turn, right?
Yep.
Not my turn. Once per turn.
This might be, like, the most exciting set of super rares we've had in some time. Because usually you get, like, a couple of good ones and then a couple of, like, it's interesting. I want to bring Not Gobby back up here. And that's what I'm calling it. Not Gobby is my term. JT said it very nonchalantly as if he came up with it. But I wrote it on the notes.
You wrote it on the notes.
I did. When fielded, Norman Osborn deals 1 damage to your opponent for each villain character die in the field zone. That's either field zone. Yours and your opponent's. We have villain maker globals out there. We have plenty of solid villains to put on a team. And we don't have ways of punishing villains that equate how it Gobby does when you have to synergize with villains. We have ways of punishing. Just not, I don't think, that equate with the Gobby ability. Or sorry, the Not Gobby ability in this case.
Yeah. And
Nobby, somebody says. That's probably good. That might end up being
Yeah, I put that in our Slack. I know someone said it in the chat, too. I think Patrick used it, too. I don't know which of us used it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I capitalized the N-O because he's Norman Osborn. I was being clever. And no.
Well, it makes me think of Nog. Norman Osborn, Green Goblin.
Yeah,
well, the classic Evan shorthand.
So, I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, what you can do with the Cosmic Cube, are you kidding me? Like, even inset, right? Play the cube, field Yondu, 3 damage to all opposing character dice. What just happened? You know, play the cube, use infiltrate, 3 damage. Crazy stuff. Just stupid. Ridiculous amount of stuff that you can do. So, and again, it's rare, so, you know, maybe see it, maybe not, but that's the point. If it was common, then everything would just blow up every turn, and I don't want that. Right, I don't want to see that. That's actually one that I'd rather see it rare, just so that it's not every draft all the time, you know, nonstop. Mm-hmm. Because if I have to take that for my first pick, then I probably have to pass an infiltrate and hope to get another one. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of. You just gotta be clever on this draft. I mean, all of your decisions matter from the draft all the way through playing. So you put that in a modern team though, and good. Night. I mean, so put that in the Ultraman team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now Storm does 3 damage every action. What just happened? The stuff that will blow up. I'm lost. I don't have any idea.
There's so much. I mean, there's so many cool toys to play with, and that's what happens when you have a set that drafts well and gives you cool abilities. We end up having cool toys now in our constructed formats as well that just do wild things. And that's where that's what we saw certainly with Green Arrow Flash. I think we saw that to an extent with Batman, though it didn't really get to settle in a whole lot before. Before we had to go to Origins, but even then, Darkseid, my God, there's a lot of cool stuff we can do now, and I think those cards barely scratch the surface. I'll throw out there because of good old Team Ricochet, just flashing again above my head. Ricochet is pretty great on probably any of his faces. And I know that you and Randy want to dig into something with that separately, and so I won't steal your thunder here. But, man, Ricochet is cool. It's a good thing he's in the game now for some reason.
I can't tell you the sheer joy that it brings me to open a pack and see that white and orange die pop out. Like, it's stupid. It's childish. But it's amazing. It's the coolest feeling in the world. And, like, I go to my shop, and, you know, the shop owner is a chemist by training. He's a Magic player. He sat down. I got there early before the draft. He sat down, played a couple games with me. And in just a couple games, I could tell he's a gamer. He gets his stuff. He's reading the cards. He's, like, figuring stuff out on his own. But to tell him, like, yeah, that the reason I'm so pumped about this set is because my character's in it, you know, and he, you know, so we showed him, and the fact that Ricochet is good, like, legitimately good, probably not great, but legitimately good, yeah, is that much better. He's not Lolth, like, you know. Well,
God, no. I mean, Lolth is...
Like, yeah, he's not a last pick. Like, even the uncommon isn't a last pick. Because you never know when knocking out a sidekick is going to be good. And it's cheap. It's, yep, a two-cost bolt. Like, that's not a last pick. So, yeah, we'll dive in. Randy and I will talk about the character a little bit. We'll bring out some of the stuff from the comics. I am about two-thirds of the way through the first, I think it's the only Slingers run. There's a few other comics that have him in it, but as soon as I get through these comics, Randy and I are going to record, and I'm so pumped. I'm so excited. It's it's just really one of the coolest things. It's for me, it's better than the fact that, you know, after Isaac and I took Antihero to that WKO and like we were able to mess with some ring teams with him and some poly teams and just like frustrate opponents all day. Like, aren't you going to call a character? No, I'm not going to call a character. Oh, now that you've rolled, re-roll that polymorph die, please. Like, like when we did that, I mean, it was really cool. So for him to get, you know, the foil treatment, that was really, really cool. You know, I think we were both really excited.
I'm sorry, guys, I hit something again.
but now, you know, the fact that Ricochet is just, it's a good, all three of his versions are good. I mean, I don't know that anything's tier one, but they're good. And that's really exciting.
I agree. It's pretty cool. All right then. So let's talk about Golden, and let's frame it this way, because it has been a long show, but it's been a good show, I think. I'm really excited to talk about this set. I'm glad it's here at last. To talk about Golden Age, I think what we basically have to say, thanks to Keith's excellent performance at Gen Con and whatever else, do we have something here that allows us to easily beat Bard?
Well, not here. Or does Bard get...
That's the question with, I think, with any Golden Age at the moment, because Keith showed basically the same thing, even despite sets coming out, Bard is good enough that with... like the addition of cards, a starter set, some other things, the Bard deck that won WKOs over the last winter can still win in Golden now.
Yeah, you know, Keith didn't, I don't think Keith brought spray, so if, you know, if Wonder Woman had made a bigger showing, you know, Wonder Woman would be good. We'll see. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of brewing. People are going to figure out a lot of stuff that, you know, much smarter than me. I'll let them figure out and then hopefully learn how to play it. But
I'm with you there.
You know, I think Bard is probably king, but I'll tell you, like, I played Keith and I felt good. Like, I brought the Beholder Bard combination, and you know, he had Oppression Begins, so that kind of, you know, I didn't bother with Beholder. Yep. So I'm playing with a dead card, and he had, the difference in that game was probably Fabricate. So he had Fabricate, so we're both playing Imprisoned. There's plenty of Imprisoned dice for us to buy. I was playing Blue Eyes, so I had to spend to get rid of my characters. He could just Fabricate them. I'm pretty sure he had Oracle, so I had to, you know, spend all my energy to knock stuff out so they weren't captured. But I guess my point is, like, that was not play Bard and win. That was, you got to make no mistakes, too, because...
You know. That's true, too. Oh, I mean, like, we've talked before, and I kind of gave that mea culpa to myself, and I see somebody in chat says, friends don't let friends play Bard, and I understand, but a Spike wants to win, they're going to play what it takes to win. That's just kind of... I'll always talk about my big article series on how Professor X was terrible for the game, and then, like, 2 weeks later, I went to U.S. Nationals and rode Professor X into the top eight. You do what you gotta do when there's a tournament on the line. But that being said, Bard is... those are not easy decks to play. Bard is a crazy beat stick, and you have to be really careful, but it's really easy to lose to other things. Somebody brought up Imprisoned, by the way, and they want to know about Adam Warlock. Feels like a one-sided Imprisoned. Doesn't it a little bit?
Yes, it does. And that may be something that, you know, has big impact for...
see if I can find the right one.
That may be something that has big impact for Golden. I mean, it's totally abusable. Like, just nowhere to us... To, you know, I don't know if Adam's a four, he's a five cost.
So five.
Nowhere to a six cost. When are you going to field him again?
I think I meant a spray. Two. Adam Warlock also has ignore the text of all opposing character dice of a lower level than Adam Warlock until end of turn. Adam Warlock just does crazy things. Wow. Why did I not notice the common Adam Warlock? Your character dies when fielded, effects trigger twice?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. By combat damage. Move any character dice that damage in this turn to his card. So he has a spray version. He has this double when fielded. Oh, my word.
So
how do you know? I want a team with just Adam Warlock on it. Three Adam Warlocks and then five other cards. Can I do that?
I wish. Yeah, so use the rare... Madam Web, force everyone to block him, then or block her, and then nowhere to Adam Warlock. When he's KO'd, just don't field him. Send him to the use. The next turn, nowhere to a six cost. Like, the stuff you can do is just stupid.
Like, it really is.
And I am... I mean, I'm so excited for what this brings, because this game... I played in all three... WKOs at Gen Con, and I had a blast in all three. Mm-hmm. But this stuff just feels so fun and fresh, and hopefully we'll get Randy on here soon, because I know fresh is a word that he's used a few times. You know, the game feels fresh. This set has me excited too. Hopefully that came through in this podcast. But it's a fun set to draft. It's a fun set to think about how this stuff will play with stuff moving forward. Somebody mentioned a force block. Force block with Adam Warlock. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, you know, force block and I'll attack and I'll take that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, if something knocks him out, right, yeah, I get it, you know. Then you either got to poly him in or nowhere him in, whatever. But, you know, it's... The stuff you can do with him is just over the top.
And that's what I see a lot of places here. This set is just going to be a lot of fun. All right, then. Well, that's going to do it for the recorded portion of this. We'll wrap this up, but we're not ending the stream. So stick around. We got stuff to give you.
Yep.
Some of you, anyway. Before we go... As always, we have to say thank you for listening. We know that you can spend your time in many ways. We're very thankful that you choose to spend it with us. If you like what we're doing, leave a review wherever you're getting your podcasts. And also, follow us here on Twitch. Right now we're using my channel, twitch.tv/facetheduke. Throw us a follow. Come on, join us. We have a lot of stuff going on here. The Attack Zone is a production of the Reserve Pool Network. Theme music is courtesy of Down Team Up. Promotional consideration has been given in the form of review product. Don't forget to check out our other podcasts, The Reserve Pool every Thursday, and The Prep Area, running opposite Tuesdays from us. We'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe even streaming again. And until then, keep rolling.
Cheers.
And that way we can sync things. See how the sausage is made. Now y'all can do your own podcast if you ever want to. All right. Let's do it. We'll have some interaction with the chat afterwards. You see down below how that's going to work. So let's get into it. Oh, you know what? I have to do this thing. The Attack Zone, Season 4, Episode 5. Wait, is it 5?
Yes. Episode 5. We're doing this live.
Oh.
That's what I thought you were going for.
No, but that's great. This might end up in the post-show thing. The Attack Zone! See, I need to leave a gap so I can cut it in.